You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, some people scare me, and I'm getting more scared every single day, Linda.
Well, I think a lot of Americans are. I mean, we've really had a double whammy this year with the coronavirus and now the protests and the looting and now the takeover of part of Seattle.
I can't tell you how frustrated and how much anxiety that I have over the police department and the police chief and the mayor in that town and how they are not responding to what can only be described as sheer anarchy. Now, I know the mayor there, whose name is Jenny Durkan, she calls it more like a block party.
Yeah, it's a love fest, isn't it?
It's a love fest. And if you look, I mean, anybody that has a pair of eyes, if you look at what's happening in Seattle, Washington right now, you see nothing but sheer anarchy, people completely out of control, people armed with weapons, and they're patrolling the streets, but they are denying access to, I mean, who are these people? And they're denying access to residents, and they're asking for ID cards and businesses, and they're extorting people. And so let me get this right. So in these major Democratic cities across the United States, they are universally against stop and frisk by police officers based on probable cause or reasonable suspicion. But you'll let any Yahoo anarchist, Black Lives Matter movement member, Antifa member, you name it, walk around armed and stopping and detaining people and asking for ID. And you've got absolutely no problem with that.
And yet, if we would do it as a police officer, that would be wrong.
Well, that's exactly my point.
I know.
Okay.
This is crazy. And think about the people, you know, the mayor just frustrates me to pieces because she says, you know, everybody's good over there. We have block parties all the time. You know, there's nothing going on. Do you not call the painting of the streets, the paintings, the graffiti on the buildings, the non-freedom of the people there? I mean, they're basically either prisoners in or out of their businesses. And if they have a business, let's just say that you are a hairdresser in that six block area.
Let's name the six block area. It's
called
the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They call it Chaz.
Yes.
You know, like a bad rock band.
Yes. And if you're a business owner there, your business doesn't just come from a six block area. It comes from without the area, right? So people they're further harmed. Not only were they harmed by the coronavirus and not being able to open, now they're completely basically locked in or out of their area where they work, and as are their customers. So, if I was a business in there, if I was a food business, I would close my doors. I wouldn't be selling any food to them.
Well, let me get to something. And I know that that's important. Okay. I mean, business owners, obviously citizens living in their homes. Being a law enforcement guy, I've got to express my sheer frustration and disappointment with the leadership of the Seattle Police Department, and especially with the chief of police and the assistant chief, both of whom are women, Jenny Durkan. So they lost the precinct. They gave up the police department precinct. They capitulated, they surrendered, they gave up the building, it's been boarded up, and now it has been guarded by armed insurrectionists in the Chaz zone.
And Jenny Durkan, I think, is the mayor. The police chief is Carmen Best.
Look at what I'm talking about. That's my level of frustration. And so I'm watching Carmen Best talk last night, and I think she was on an interview being interviewed by Fox News. And then also her assistant chief of police, whose name is Noelle something. And you could tell that those two women have never spent one day on the street. okay, in a squad car. I mean, I just have to think that, because nobody would use the senseless, stupid, cowardly rhetoric that those women are using. I mean, come on. You are not only police officers, you are the chief and the assistant chief of police. Your town is out of control. You surrendered, for God's sakes, your precinct with all of your police records, all of your weaponry, all of your tactical gear, your squad cars, all of the stuff that keeps you safe and keeps the citizens of Seattle safe, and you surrendered it to anarchists. And then your rhetoric that you are seeking, you're doing this to keep things peaceful, and you're seeking equity with the protesters, is not only laughable, but it's disgusting. You as police officers are not there to seek equity with anybody. You are there to keep the peace and control bad behavior and armed bad behavior and extortion and illegal civil rights violations like stop and frisk by the bad guys. That's what you're there for. And then, of course, you know, Carmen Best says, well, I didn't make the decision to abandon the precinct. But then when they ask her, well, who did? Well, she leads you to believe. She doesn't outright. This is how cowardly you are, Chief Durkin. Chief Best, you won't even say that your own mayor ordered you to abandon your own police precinct. That's what scum you are, as far as I'm concerned. You shouldn't have been wearing that uniform or wearing that badge. You won't even say who did it. Of course it's the mayor. That's who you take your directions from. And then when they go to the mayor, because people aren't stupid, they know who chiefs of police take their directions from. It's you either have a mayoral form of government or a city manager form of government. The city manager's name has never been mentioned. And so you must have a mayoral form of government. And then when they go to the mayor and they ask Jenny Durkin, who's a total space cadet, did you give an order to abandon the precinct? Did you tell your chief to abandon the precinct? You get nothing but rhetoric, and she won't give you a straight answer.
She basically denies it as well. But what she told President Trump when President Trump said, you know, if you don't fix this, we're going to come in and fix it for you. She said, just go back to your bunker. Well, you know, the disrespect that we have from our politicians to the presidency is just alarming.
You know, there's just so many ways, you know, that I want to attack this. But the thing that was so disgusting and disgraceful and so disheartening is that basically so the police go, oh my God, we left all of that stuff at the precinct, right? So now with their tails between their legs, you see video of like two or three police officers trying to walk and make their way to the precinct. And of course they're being absolutely denied, and they're armed, and they're being absolutely denied access to get back into their own precinct. And of course they're not going to pull their guns. God forbid. I mean, believe me, here's the bottom line, and cops know this. If you're not going to pull your gun, then you ain't never going to pull your gun, okay? So you're not going to pull your gun to get back into your own precinct. I get that. But what that means is that you gave up everything, and you were completely powerless. And as a matter of fact, Linda, if you saw the video, they had to, get this, ask permission of anarchists to escort them to their own precinct so they could get there. And of course, the place was a total wreck. Okay, so you're asking permissions of civilians who have taken over your city and basically disarmed and emasculated you. Oh, please, can we go back? Can you protect us? So if you're a citizen of the city of Seattle, how the hell do you feel about that?
Well, Seattle has somewhat caused this their own problem, because they have been kind of a hotbed of anarchy for a while. They've had a lot of people there with those tendencies. It's been brought up time and time again with their demonstrations. And they've let it go. And then this is what they end up with. Now, if you look at the people that are doing this, that you see on TV anyway, they're pretty much all young people, right? They're out there and what it brings to my mind, Ron, is going way back, this is what you get when you have the kind of educational system that has really indoctrinated our students into thinking that America is no good, that America is racist, that America is all of these bad things. This is what these people believe. They have no context in their life to see what other countries are like. Here's an example right now where just, I think this week, two men in Thailand who had a sushi kind of restaurant, a fish restaurant, they put out a deal that they were going to give people for a buffet, and they didn't end up coming through on it, and they got over 1,000-year in jail sentence. I mean, these kids have no context to how it is to live in other places in the world.
Do you remember, this is a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but going back about, 6 or 7 years ago, there was an American tourist visiting the city of Singapore. And I don't know if anybody's been to the city of Singapore, but you could eat off the ground. It's so clean. And their laws about cleanliness are actually, we would look at it as being extremely oppressive. Well, this kid, now I'm going to call him a kid because he was a college student. He's about 20 years old. He's from the United States. He spit on the sidewalk. And a police officer saw him spit on the sidewalk and took him into custody. Do you know what he was sentenced to?
No.
50 lashes with a cane.
Oh, dear.
Okay. A spanking. Okay. But a pretty severe spanking. And guess what? That's what he got. They put him up against the wall, tied him to a pillar, and gave him and carried out the sentence. These people in the United States, and you're right, most of these look like kids to me in their 20s. Have no idea what they're talking about oppressive laws. And did you see who the so-called leader of this occupation army of the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone? He's a black rapper who's got an AR-15 strapped across his chest, and he's a Marxist. And this is the guy that Mayor Jenny Durkan and Chief Carmen Best allowed to take over their city. Okay, this guy and his ilk, I mean, every single one of those police officers that participated in this, you need to resign, okay, because you have embarrassed all of us in law enforcement. It is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen, and people need to call it what it is. And I am absolutely surprised that other sheriffs and chiefs of police across the United States are not decrying this, and it's left up to civilians like you and me, because everybody's running scared right now. Okay, there is no control in these democratically run cities.
No, there is no control, and that the narrative continues to be that, just as the narrative in Seattle is that they have a long history of police brutality. That is just baloney. They don't even know what police brutality is. In this country, you have an isolated incident from time to time, yet over 600 police officers since the death of George Floyd have either been injured or murdered, and there is no decrying that. 600 of our public servants who are here to protect and serve.
I was listening to the sister of the black federal police officer that was gunned down. He was assassinated. He was ambushed on the steps of the federal court in downtown Oakland, California, which is up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she, and what an eloquent, I felt so bad for her. I've been to so many police funerals. As a matter of fact, you know me, Linda, I can't even go to them anymore because I tear up. I mean, I can't take it. So many of my, you know, and I just want to say, I've lost so many of my brothers and sister police officers that I knew that were friends of mine serving their nation as police officers than I have ever known that served in Vietnam and any of our conflicts abroad to this day. All right. And people need to remember that we lose more police officers every single year in the United States of America, every year in the United States of America, then we lose throughout the world every year in every single conflict we have fighting this war on terrorism. Okay, that's the reality. And then let's talk for just a second about the unreality, the lies, the false narratives about hands up, don't shoot, which is a case that I worked in, that I analyzed, Michael Brown, Officer Darren Wilson, Ferguson, Missouri, 2016. I wrote about it in my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And we're going to tell people how to get a copy of that book in a little bit. But that was a completely false narrative. Hands up, don't shoot was a completely false narrative. Never occurred and was proven by the Federal Bureau of Investigations to be an outright lie. You want to know what the reality is in Seattle right now? It's the reverse. Police officers have their hands up and they're begging the community not to shoot them. That's how things have turned around. False narrative versus the reality in Seattle, Washington.
The people that are in that Chaz district, unless they're all complicit and they agree with this, they need to be speaking up and doing something. This is what happens when you get fear in a society like this. And the, you know, kind of the inmates are taking over the asylum. This is not acceptable. And if we allow it, you're going to see this across the nation.
And what the heck is the governor of the state of Washington, J. Robert Inslee, doing about this? For God's sakes, I would have sent in the National Guard in a heartbeat. If the police department have abrogated their responsibilities to protect that community, then you must send in the National Guard. You must do that.
This governor is...
He's a Democrat.
He's completely... over his head. He has no idea what to do. I saw him more or less joking about it on TV, and his attitude was, you know, very cavalier about this whole situation. That is the problem. You have the governor, the mayor, the police chief, none of whom know what to do in that area. Why are these people even in their jobs? Seattle, you need to look at who you vote for, because this and all of the state of Washington, you want to be liberal? Great, be liberal. That's not the point. The point is that you are destroying your society and community here by how you're voting, by electing these people that have Marxist tendencies or who are completely ignorant of what to do in an emergency.
You know, I've got a gentleman that I subsequently got to know and make friends with because he wrote columns and actually attempted to run for the Seattle City Council just a year or so ago. His name's Christopher Ruffel. And Christopher is an extremely articulate person. I believe I could be wrong, but I believe he's a businessman in the Seattle area. And he was really a good prophet and had prophesied that if Seattle did not do something about what was happening in their city as Marxists were moving in and taking over the city and anarchists and Antifa, that's what started this whole thing. And if they didn't put a stop to it, something like this might happen. I don't even think Chris foresaw this much. But what they did is they literally threatened him and his wife and his family, and threatened him so bad, and he was so concerned about their safety that he dropped out of the race. And that's what fascists do, and that's what Marxist anarchists do. So you can see I'm pretty riled up about it, but I'm willing to take a break for a second and get you a cup of coffee. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.drronmartinelli.com. dronmartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, in this CHAZ zone, they actually have a website now. They have demands. So it's called the Demands of the Collective Black Voices at Free Capitol Hill to the Government of Seattle, Washington. So I want to go through some of their demands because you can see how absolutely radical this has become. They say that the Seattle Police Department and the court system are beyond reform. So they want to have it all abolished. They demand abolition. We demand that the Seattle Council and the mayor defund and abolish the Seattle Police Department and the attached criminal justice apparatus. That means 100% of funding, including the pensions to the Seattle Police. And they also demand that the city disallow the operations of ICE in the city of Seattle. Okay, that's number one demand. Do you want to comment on that, or we should keep going?
No. I do want to comment on it. And, you know, I said I was going to talk about where to get a copy of my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Interestingly enough, and you know this, it used to be on Amazon.
For years.
Mm-hmm. And sold tons of books. But guess what? Within the last few weeks, Jeff Bezos, who now has publicly avowed his support for the Black Lives Matter movement, has removed Dr. Ron's book from the bookshelves at Amazon. So you can't find my book on Amazon anymore. Now, you can find t-shirts that say Murder Blue Lives, okay, and Blue Lives Murder, both yeah. of them. You can find that. You can find the Anarchist Cookbook. You can find the book about Antifa on the bookshelves, but you can't find poor Dr. Ron's book. So here's where you can get a copy of my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. At this particular time, only on Dr. Ron's private forensic site, www.dronmartinelli.com. That's www.dronmartinelli.com.
DrRonMartinelli.com.
Now, listen, I gave a plug, but you asked me a question, so I'm going to steal just another minute of your time.
Yeah, please do.
Everything that you're talking about in that first demand, Linda, is right there in the book, and we talk about the Black Lives Matter movement's 4D plan to get rid of law enforcement, and it starts out with disenfranchising, then distancing the community and the businesses from law enforcement, then defunding, and then dissolving. Does that sound familiar?
It sounds familiar, and that's what's happening. And this is a plan. This is not spontaneous. Okay, the action may be spontaneous because we had a spark that lit the fire. Okay, but this plan has been around for a very long time. So they also want that in that transitionary period, while you're defunding the police, that and dismantling the Seattle police, that they want no armed force to be able to be used, no guns, no batons, no riot shields, no chemical weapons, and especially against those that are protesting there.
Right, because they've got all the weapons.
Sure.
Okay, they've got the guns. They've got the assault rifles. They've got the improvised weapons. They've got the chemical agents that they're making, the bombs, the Molotov cocktails. And God help the police if they try to protect themselves or try to protect the businesses or the citizens in Seattle. We wouldn't want that.
Well, right. And what does a citizen in Seattle do if they are under assault by somebody, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's a home invasion robbery, what, no matter what it is, okay, what do they do when they call the police and there's no police to come, or there's police that are, you know, walking in with no arms, with, I mean, and the criminals are armed? What do you expect? What kind of life do you expect to have there in Seattle?
Well, first of all, the police aren't going into that district. Okay, so why are they going to respond to any type? I mean, this is laughable, you know, when Chief Best says, well, if citizens have a problem and they believe they're being extorted by armed people who are preventing them from going into their businesses, or they say, if you don't pay us money, then your business might be looted, it might be burned to the ground. If you have problems, you should call 911. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call 911 for the police to come when they can't even protect themselves.
Well,
how the hell are they going
to
protect me?
They'll have to show their ID and prove that they have a 911 call to get in there. I don't know. Anyway, who are they going to call? So the second demand is an end to the school-to-prison pipeline, they call it, and the abolition of youth jails. Take the kids out of prison, get the cops out of schools, and they demand that the new youth prison being built in Seattle currently be repurposed. Okay, so
what does that mean?
I guess they don't want to put any youth
in jail
at all. So again, just let them do whatever they want. Let's take this down to its lowest common denominator here. As a parent, okay, are you going to let your kid do whatever they want and have no consequences whatsoever? You are no longer allowed to send your kid to their room for destroying property, for being disobedient, for whatever the
offense
thing is that they do.
Right.
I mean, this is just crazy and ridiculous that we want to have nobody have any consequences for their actions.
Let's get to another one.
Okay. They demand that not the city government nor the state government, but that the federal government launch a full-scale investigation into past and current cases of police brutality in Seattle and Washington, as well as the reopening of all closed cases reported to the Office of Police Accountability. They demand that cases particular to Seattle and Washington be reopened where no justice has been served, namely the cases of Lucia Felitoga, Demarius Butts, Ozziah Obet, Tommy Lee, Sean Furr, and Charlena Lyles.
Well, that's how stupid they are, because they should know that the United States Department of Justice has investigated those cases and the history of the Seattle Police Department. And if anybody were to go on the Seattle Police Department's website and see about consent decrees and the United States Department of Justice being involved in oversight in that police department, they would know that. Okay. By the way, they already have a citizens review board. They ought to be going back and talking to the people in their own citizens review board to find out what the findings were in regards to all those uses of forces. So these are just people that are pure anarchists and Marxists. They are uneducated. They haven't even taken the time to take a look at what the Seattle Police Department has done and what their own citizen review board has done. Okay, they don't. Here's the bottom line: they don't even want police there anymore. They don't even want that.
Okay, and the next demand is that they want reparations for victims of police brutality. They want the names of the officers involved in any of those cases, any police brutality case, to be public record, and they want a retrial of all people of color currently serving a prison sentence for violent crime by a jury of their peers in the community. Now, here's what is interesting about that. These people were tried by a jury of their peers in the community. That's how they ended up in prison.
I don't think any of this is rocket science, but when we take a look at the people that are making these demands, look how young they are, look how uneducated they are. I mean, they have no idea even about the history of their department. You talk about reparations for people of police brutality. Those are called state and federal lawsuits. Those things automatically happen once a person that believes that they are a deserving plaintiff in a civil case would file against the department. So that's just sheer idiocy.
Yeah. Well, and they also demand the decriminalization of the acts of protest. So all of the looting and the protesting and the burning that they did in the last few weeks, they want all of that amnesty. Decriminalized. And if they're in, somebody is in jail for that, they want them released. They demand that the city release anybody that is serving time for resisting arrest, anybody serving time for marijuana violations, all kinds of different things.
Well, so, basically, they just don't want to be held accountable. I think that's what all their demands are. They're concerned that those people that have committed all sorts of violations that might be on surveillance videos that would be subsequently identified by the Seattle Police Department or by federal authorities, they're worried about going to jail, going to prison. So they're already trying to line up their amnesty on this. None of those demands can be granted. And actually some of them are unlawful. So I think that's going to be the end of those demands.
Well, and people can go onto their particular website, Capitol Hill AutoZone, Cap Hill, C-A-P Hill Auto dot zone, and look at the demands themselves. There's 30 of them. They're patently ridiculous. And I understand that people there have whatever issues that they have. But I have to go back to that. This has been long coming by the last two generations of teachers in our schools. And one thing that I hope will come out of this entire coronavirus, Ron, is that a lot of people had to go back to teaching their kids at home and seeing what their kids are actually learning. Hopefully they paid attention, because this is a point in time that we can turn a corner and change this educational system, which is basically just indoctrinating our youth to a Marxist ideology and not understanding the value of America and how we got to be America and the greatest country on earth.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Marxist ideology, because I want to talk about Marxist ideology a little bit, because there's basically four phases of what Marxism wants to do and Marxists want to do in the United States. And like you said, it takes years and years and years to develop this. And as a matter of fact, Marxist propagandists, KGB experts from the old Soviet Union have stated that there are basically just a few stages of this. The first one, which is the one that takes the longest time, Linda, is demoralization. And this is where you bring in revisionist history. You do not teach civics in the classes. And so people are uneducated, deliberately uneducated in the way the government works, what our rule of law is, what our Constitution says, what our Bill of Rights are. They have no idea about any of these things. The rule of law, I think I said that, but also the protectors of the rule of law and respect for authority and how that's all in the United States, a symbiotic relationship. That's all lost. But the Marxists say that we need to be de-educated over at least two generations. And if you take a look at the protesters that are out there, that's representative of two generations.
Absolutely.
Okay. The next thing is destabilization. And destabilization takes anywhere from about 2 to 5 years. And destabilization is exactly what Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Michelle Obama and their ilk were doing during the time in office. And destabilization attacks these components of the United States government. They attack our economy, our foreign relations, and our defense systems. And if you take a look at everything that happened, you take a look at Barack Obama, he went on this immediate apology tour. And what is he doing? Telling everybody that the United States were bad people, the government was a bad government, and he's talking about, you know, hope and change, and we're going to, and everybody's clapping for him because he's the first black president. And what he did, we didn't have 5 years of destabilization. We had 8 years of destabilization. He attacked the military. He defunded the military.
Yes.
He just, as I just said,
demoralized the military,
destroyed our foreign relations,
yes,
just absolutely destroyed it. And look at that economy. More people on food stamps than ever, ever, ever before in the United States. And look how horrible the economy was, where our GDP was just atrocious. Our stock market was atrocious. The next thing we have is crisis. So if you put in right after destabilization and Obama leaving office, now Donald Trump comes in and starts propping everything up, getting rid of everything the Obama era did and the Biden era did, and then fixing the economy, getting people back to work, then the next thing that happens, boom, coronavirus.
And even before coronavirus, you still had them trying to create crisis with the whole impeachment thing, with the whole Mueller thing, with the whole Russiagate. I mean, this is what they were doing. And this was still Obama's people doing this.
And you're exact. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's exactly right. And I forgot about it for a second, because even before Donald Trump, and we know this now, okay, so this isn't just empty rhetoric. This isn't just speculation. It's been proven now. And this is why we're back in the investigations. It started even before Donald Trump was president of the United States. Started even before that. And so, yeah, we've had this 3 years, even though Trump and his administration are building up the economy, more people working than ever before, including people of color, the highest employment rates for people of color in the history of the United States. Then we get hit with coronavirus. And right after coronavirus, we get hit with the George Floyd riots and looting.
Yes.
Okay. And so that is the crisis. The last part of it, and I'll just be brief, and the Soviets were cynical in calling it normalization. And what that means is they came in March to develop Marxist countries, to turn over democratic countries and bring in a Marxist regime. They would do it by force. So there would be a forced coup, a forced takeover. Look how many times Soviet tanks rolled into countries like Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, Czechoslovakia. You remember all of that? Well, these kids don't know that because they don't know their history.
Yes, because we don't teach it anymore.
And then once the Marxists, the dictators, got into power, they said, okay, everything's fine. That's why they call it normalization. Okay, everybody's fine. Everybody's good, because now you've got the dictator. But here's what's important. In the United States of America, we have a democratic government. So the only way that that can happen is in the voting booths. Now, you can try the insurrection like you're having, you know, in Seattle. But ultimately, to take over an entire country, you got to go to the voting booth. And so what we do then is, with all the media being complicit,
yes,
and all the demonstrators and everything that's going on in the Democratic Party and with the Bernie Sanders and, you know, that ilk, what we have is we have the takeover of the so-called peaceful takeover of the Donald Trump administration, and we put in what the Soviets refer to as benevolent dictators.
Well, and Joe Biden is nothing but a puppet, because he can't keep a straight thought in his head, and who would really be running the country?
That's right, and that's why he's down in the bunker. And I was listening to Geraldo Rivera, I guess, and he's not a guy I like at all, but he made a lot of sense. And he says, you know, the best thing for Joe Biden to do right now, because the polls, and this is scary, the polls show him ahead of the president of the United States. We don't know what the reality is of that, but just listen to this. The best thing for Joe Biden to do is to stay in the bunker, just to stay there. And really not go out on the campaign trail and make any speeches, because I truly believe the guy's got some medical problems. I think he's got dementia. He can't put two sentences together. And if they just keep him locked down in that bunker and let nature take its course, the Democrats think they're going to win.
Well, and that's very scary. So let's get another cup of coffee and we'll keep going.
Oh, I've got lots more to discuss. My hair is on fire.
Oh, what hair?
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? The good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Questions that I was asking myself was, self, who's running all these cities? That the cities that we have the biggest problems in, I was just curious to see who was running these cities. Is it Democrats, mayors that are running the cities? Is it Democratic governors that are running the states that are having the biggest problems? So I asked you to take a look for me and see who did what, where, and here we go. So
I'll say, straight up front, full disclosure, this is the political part of talking while married.
Because
you can't talk about this without mentioning politics, all right? And it is what it is.
But politics caused a lot of this. So let's talk about who's running our cities. So if you have major cities in the country, there are 35 Democrats, 13 Republicans and 2 independents running those major cities in our country.
Absolutely. So let's just compare and contrast what's going on between Democratic-run cities and Republican-run cities. And so you don't have to take Dr. Ron and Linda's word for this. Just turn on the boob tube and watch the news and look at all the videos and find out where all the rioting, the looting, the insurrection is taking place and who's running those cities and who's running those states. So, you know, we spent the first part of our coffee conversation talking about the city of Seattle. So the mayor of the city of Seattle, remember, is Jenny Durkin, and her political affiliation is that she's a staunch Democrat. But the mayor of the governor of the state of Washington, as I mentioned earlier, is J. Robert Inslee. And both of those people are clueless as to what's happening. You remember that movie, Clueless in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was prophetic.
Okay. So let's talk about another major Democratic city, and that's the city of San Francisco. That's run by Democrat London Breed. And remember what's going on in the city of San Francisco, one of the highest homeless populations that we have in the United States. Actually, it's the only city in the United States that I know that has an application that's called the poop application. And what you can do is you can get on that application and literally, for health and safety, find out where all the areas where the maximum amount of human feces is located. Okay, that's what that, and by
that's
the way,
that's a great public service.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, but maybe our listeners don't, but Dr. Ron was born and raised in San Francisco when it was an absolutely gorgeous, beautiful city. I loved it when I was a kid growing up in San Francisco because there was so much fun things to do. Now, I boycott the city of San Francisco. I don't go there unless they force me to go for a case in federal court. Look at what they've done to our once golden state.
Right.
You know, but anyway, yeah, let's just kind of continue with these cities that are being run by progressive Democrats. Let's take a look at the city of Portland, Oregon, and that's run by Democrat Ted Wheeler, who is an avowed supporter of the Antifa movement, which is a fascist movement.
Okay? And I predict that this, what has happened in Seattle, will be moving to Portland. I predict that they are next on the list. That's my prediction.
You know what? I don't doubt that at all. I used to work with the city of Portland. I used to defend their police officers there. And the police there have also lost control. And I also have to blame the Police Officers Association president there for just capitulating. I mean, not even a clue. Listen, police officers all over the United States, I mean, this is Dr. Ron talking here. There are so many strategies that you can use to push back on what's going on with your mayors and city councils to make them pay attention to you. All right. And, you know, just get a hold of me sometime. I'm easy to find. Just Google me and I'll be more than happy to assist you with some progressive strategies that you can use to fight back against these mayors and city councils that are, you know, placing you in situations where your safety is being jeopardized?
Well, we have the city of New York, which has just been in absolute chaos as well. And no wonder, because it's run by Bill de Blasio. Now, the thing about Mr. de Blasio that is interesting is he is a white man. He's married to a black woman. They have two mixed race children, which is absolutely great. I was shocked that his wife made a comment that she'd like to see the entire police department defunded and gone.
And gone.
In her opinion, that would be nirvana. And she admittedly said that they're not ready for that yet. Does that tell you where her mindset is and where they're going? And again, people of New York, and we love New York, and we love to go to New York, not going there anytime soon.
And, you know, and we love the police officers in New York,
absolutely.
And they work so hard.
And they're so unsupported by their mayor.
And, you know, Linda, you said just the other day, and this is so important that people understand this, you know, with all the false narratives going out there, you would think that every police department in the United States is a white police department. New York City, just like San Jose, I will tell you something. All of your major metropolitan police departments are, you know, right up with the diversity. I mean, they absolutely reflect the diverse populations that they serve.
Absolutely.
So, you know, New York, I mean, you see Hindus, I mean, you name the race, color, creed, culture, and I think there's over 148 different cultures in the city of New York, and I promise you that you will find officers from every single one of those cultures representing the police department. And it's the same thing in San Jose. It's the same thing in Los Angeles. The same thing in San Francisco, Chicago. I mean, you name it. So this is not police departments that are run by a bunch of white guys.
No. And you know, you just mentioned Chicago. That's also run by a Democrat, Lori Lightfoot.
Many of our chiefs of police, let me say this, you know, we were talking about Carmen Best. That's a black woman.
Yes.
Who's the chief of police?
Yes.
Okay. The Dallas Police Department, that's a black woman running that town. I mean, you name it. There's all sorts of minority police officers and police sheriffs in the United States.
Well,
they're not run by a bunch of white guys.
The racism claim, as well as the police brutality claims, is, in my opinion, a false narrative. There's always isolated instances. There's isolated instances in every single profession. You can get a bad doctor and he kills patients. I mean, you name the profession, you can get a bad egg. Okay. Judges, lawyers, politicians, you name it. But to paint everybody under that same umbrella is absolutely wrong. And this is a false narrative that is being proffered by the media, and also the Hollywood stars who are now making videos that, you know, they're sorry that they're part of this. Listen, these Hollywood stars, when our police are gone and we have nobody to protect us, they have the bucks to hire private security, and they do.
And they live in compounds. They live insulated.
So they don't
care. They don't experience what we experience.
They have no idea, but all of us will be the ones left hanging out there to fend for ourselves. So, you know, people are going to be needing to buy guns. And what kind of society are we going to have to live in where everybody now is going to go back to the Wild West and make their own justice?
Well, you know, what you did just kind of sort of brought up a story that I heard actually from a journalist, and he's an Indian journalist. And he writes, I think, for the New York Times or one of the big newspapers. And he's talking about the riots that are going on in New York City, and how he and his wife and their two kids, they live in an apartment, right? They live in a flat, and they have a couple of bellmen doormen, I guess,
right?
They call it their doormen, and they're both unarmed, and there's all sorts of armed looters running around, and he says, you know, we're all disarmed. So Bill de Blasio, and by the way, Governor Cuomo, who's another famous Democrat who runs the state of New York, have basically disarmed everybody. And so this poor man feels he has to grab a knife because the doormen aren't armed, and the looters could just go in there and they could do whatever they want, and they've got guns. So the citizens don't have guns, but the looters and the rioters have guns. So, you know, and that's the type of society. When you went back over those demands up in Seattle from the anarchists and the Marxists, of course they want to disarm everybody.
But yet they are armed.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
And so, but let's, you know, we've kind of talked about that. Let's talk about the Republicans.
Yeah.
And the large cities that are being run by Republicans. And it is just a stark contrast with regards to how the cities are run and who had problems. So all these cities that we mentioned that are run by Democrats and controlled by Democratic governors, all right, so we mentioned Seattle, Democratic governor, Democratic mayor, San Francisco, Democratic governor, Democratic mayor, New York City, Democratic mayor, Democratic governor. I mean, you go on. Oregon, Democratic mayor, Democratic, governor. Now let's just turn it over for a minute. Big city. Now the RNC is going
to
move
to Jacksonville,
President,
Florida.
Trump's convention to Jacksonville, Florida. Guess what? Ron DeSantis, the governor, is Republican, and the mayor of that city is Lenny Curry. He's a Republican. Did you see any riots in Jacksonville, Florida? Have you seen any videos of insurrection of people taking over? Antifa there, the anarchists taking over the city of Jacksonville? Absolutely not. Let's talk about a little bit closer to home. Let's talk about Fort Worth, Texas. A Republican runs that city, Betsy Prince. She runs that city. And who is who's our governor? Greg Abbott.
Oh, yes.
Greg Abbott.
I think it's Betsy Price.
I'm sorry, Betsy Price, but she's a Republican. And Greg Abbott, who's our phenomenal governor,
phenomenal.
We know him personally. The one governor, the one politician I've met who doesn't act like a politician, acts like a regular guy. He's just done such an amazing job for our state. Fort Worth, you didn't see any problems in Fort Worth. How about Omaha? Now that's Omaha, Nebraska is... Omaha, Nebraska. And that's run by a Republican. And the city of Omaha is run by Gene Stocker. All right.
Yep.
And we have, and then Oklahoma City. So Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, which is the state right above Texas, that city's run by David Holt. He's a Republican. And also the governor of the state of Oklahoma is a Republican. No problems.
No problems.
Okay. And then we just came through this town just the other day, El Paso, Texas. Now, this surprised me, okay, because, you know, you're in Beto O'Rourke's territory over there.
Yes.
All right. But it's interesting to know that Dean Margo, who is a Republican, runs the city of El Paso. And we really didn't have any problems there.
No. And you're right on the border. I mean, literally, you're
well, Juarez, Mexico is right
you're
there.
You're a quarter mile from the wall, the fence there. And everything was pretty peaceful as we came through, for sure.
Let's talk about a really huge city. And I actually do some work for this city, the city of Miami Beach. The city of Miami Beach is run by Francis Juarez. And guess what? Again, Florida is run by Ron DeSantis, who
yes.
is a Republican governor. And you are not seeing those problems.
Well, I think what the lesson for me in looking at these where the Republican governors and mayors are and where the Democratic governors and mayors are is it's pretty eye-opening to see that the cities that were having the most problems are the more liberal cities, the more left-leaning governors and mayors, and that's where we're having the problems, where it seems like the Republican governors and mayors are more law and order. They support their police departments, they support the rules of law, which I support, and I just see that it's playing out that way. Again, this is where it matters as to how people vote and how they want to live. Do you want to live in a place like Seattle?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I just can't even imagine wanting to live that kind of lifestyle. And I want to be in a place, and I think we all do, Ron, we all want to be in a place where it's safe. This whole subject about our youth having really been indoctrinated, and we as parents allowed it. I mean, we did. People said these things all along that this is what was happening, and people ignored it.
We literally have allowed strangers to influence our children, to teach our children. Strangers. We don't know what their ethics are. And you know what? Parents have been so busy with their businesses and with work that they have entrusted school boards and teachers to train the youth without having any participation in PTA, without having any participation or say so in the books that are being brought into the schools, the revisionist history, the lack of teaching civics. That's all our fault. And I think this chicken has come home to roost because we've allowed that to happen. And that just can't happen going into the future.
You know, I can't tell you how many of our friends as parents have said to me that they are shocked when their kid goes off to college, that, and then they come home, you know, for a break, at how much differently they think and how their mind has been twisted. And they're in shock and they don't know exactly how to take it and what to do about it, because now they're, everything that they tried to ingrain in their kids as they were growing up is being taken from them by these liberal teachers. We need to wake up. And by the way, right now, if you are a conservative college professor, you are absolutely being, you know, drummed out of your job if you say anything. And there's example after example that I don't have time to go into right now of that happening. Parents need to look at where they send their kids to college, at what the teachers from grammar school all the way up are teaching their kids, and get this back under control, or we are going to lose America.
Don't forget, this, and I'm not, Dr. Ron is far from some black helicopters conspiracy guy, but I know what I see, and all you have to do is look on television and see what's going on. The vast majority of these anarchists, the vast majority of these Marxists are people of college age. And the Soviets were absolutely right. They said it'll take a couple of generations. And they also said that it's really important for this takeover for Americans to be doing this to Americans. So we had a lot of Soviet influence going back about the last 50 years, and especially during the last 30 years with this Marxist-Leninist ideology. The Black Lives Matter movement is a Marxist, Black nationalist, militant, revolutionary group. It has taken at least two generations for these people to evolve. People have got to get their heads out of the sand. They've got to pay attention, and they have to vote. And I would suggest when you vote, you take a look at who's causing the problems and who's trying to make America move forward. And I want to give one last plug to my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement. If you are enjoying this conversation between Linda and I, and it involves you, of course, you're the fly on the wall here, then I would strongly suggest, if you want to see what's happening in America today, that you order a copy of my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, no longer on Amazon. They pulled it. So you find it on Dr. Ron's forensic site at www.drron for Dr. Ron Martinelli.com.